CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor from the surface of the world. We're headed to Boca Chica, Texas. Starship prototype number 25. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob, the last time we checked in at Boca Chica, Mr. Musk had failed to go into Earth orbit. So what's Starship 25 represent? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the failure wasn't a failure. It was a test flight, and they didn't expect it to succeed. They hoped it would, but they didn't expect it to, because it was the very, very, very first time they had launched Super Heavy and Starship as a single-stack rocket. The chances of something going, everything going right was almost nil. And it's an engineering test. You're trying to find out what was going to go wrong so you can fix it with the next prototypes. And that's what Starship prototype number 25 is. It is the next prototype. It already includes a gigantic number of improvements that SpaceX had included, had added to Starship while building the previous 24 prototypes, including the one that crashed in the test flight about a month ago. And so they're rolling it out to their suborbital launch pad to do a static fire engine test of the six Raptor engines that are attached to this prototype. And that's just pro forma the way SpaceX operates before a launch. They always do static fire tests. And I guess they're going to treat Starship and Super Heavy as separate vehicles and do static fire tests for each, at least at this stage of development, before any test flight. So that's what they did. I got a picture of this. They tweeted this picture of a nighttime rollout to the launch pad. You know, once again, SpaceX does this quickly and very cheaply. Their mobile launcher probably costs maybe at most $500,000 compared to, and they probably just rented it or purchased it from a company off the shelf, not unlike NASA, which spends anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion per mobile launcher. Anyway, they rolled it out to the pad, and they're getting ready to do a test flight. They have already applied for a FCC communications license for a launch window beginning June 5th, lasting 6 months. That's not the launch license. The FAA's got to provide a launch license. The FAA, we don't know when that's going to happen. The FAA has its own investigation of the first engineering test, and they've got to be satisfied everything is understood there before they'll approve. And on top of that, they've been sued by environmentalists that say the FAA should never given out any permits at all, and so they're going to have to deal with the lawsuit as well before they can issue another launch permit to SpaceX. I am, once again, very skeptical this is going to happen when they say that SpaceX would like it to happen. I really think that the government here is going to clamp down and shut them down. I hate to say that. I really think it's a terrible thing, but that's the government we have today, and so what can I say?
The ULA's Vulcan rocket, they're getting ready for a static fire test. Where are they, Bob?
It looks like they're getting very close to launch finally, John. Years late, but still going to happen. Now, Vulcan is ULA's replacement of its Atlas V and Delta family of rockets, and they proposed it almost 8 years ago as a replacement to compete with SpaceX to create a cheaper rocket. They initially said they'd be recovering the engines, but they're not going to be doing that initially, and maybe not for years. So it's not reusable, which means it's not price competitive with SpaceX, but it is cheaper to make, and they do have launch contracts, so they're not going to go broke. So anyway, the ULA rocket, the Vulcan rocket, they took it out to a launch pad to do tanking tests with it for the core stage and for the upper stage, and they completed those tanking tests, and those they fill the tanks as if they were doing a launch, and then they drain the tanks. And they have now rolled the rocket back to the assembly building because they want to do some adjustments, fixes based upon what happened. This is the first time they've tanked the rocket, so, you know, there are issues. You want to make sure you get these right. To get the launch off by the summertime, which is when they're aiming, they're going to have to strap on the side boosters that are solid fueled and put the payloads on the top. And then they're going to have to do a static fire test on the launch pad. So they got a lot to do. Whether they can make that summer launch date remains questionable. They need to get this rocket off the ground because a lot of their contracts can't be fulfilled until they've done some launches to prove out the rocket. And so we wait and we wait. That's the best I can say, John.
Blue Origin. This is associated with Mr. Bezos of Amazon. Blue Origin started about the same time that SpaceX started, but with a great big paycheck for everybody working at Blue Origin. And there have been disappointments, but now there's a happy term. Blue Origin gets the second contract from NASA, I believe, for a lunar lander. Is this a dramatically different system, Bob, than SpaceX's proposition?
Yes, this is not Starship. This is basically trying to build a larger version of the LEM that was used during the Apollo era. I'm not sure this is happy, John. This is just pro forma for Blue Origin. You know, I just said about Vulcan, we wait and we wait. Well, that's the motto of Blue Origin. We wait and we wait and nothing happens. As you say, they start at the same time as SpaceX. SpaceX has now completed, what is it, more than 200 plus launches, including, I don't know, almost 200 landings of their first stage. Blue Origin hasn't gotten anything to orbit yet after more than two decades, almost a quarter century of work. But they have put together a partnership to and bid on this contract to be the second company to build a lunar lander, a manned lunar lander from NASA, and they won the contract. I'm sure there's some politics involved. Blue Origin sued when they didn't win the contract the first time. NASA said your bid was overpriced and it wasn't as competitive or as good, so that's why we didn't pick it, and they lost the protest. But they bid again when Congress allocated more funds so they could open up bidding for a second company. Blue Origin bid again. And I think politically they were kind of forced to pick Blue Origin's partnership. This lander would be used on an Artemis lunar landing in 29, and they're required to do an unmanned mission to the moon first before they can put people on it. I'm willing to bet you that it'll be a decade from this date before this thing flies, based on Blue Origin's track record, and that's unfortunate. It is a good thing NASA having two different independent companies building these things competitively. It's good for everybody because you have two sellers, two places you can buy a product. But Blue Origin, unfortunately, has been a steady disappointment, and that's the problem.
I read your report, Bob. There are other partners involved in this contract, Draper Astrobotic and Honeybee Robotics. So we're looking at a combination of subcontractors and Blue Origin is the major contractor, correct?
Yes, and this makes it even weaker a bit, because even though Draper is a really long-established company, Astrobotic is very new, and Honeybee is very small. In the previous bid that they lost, Northrop Grumman was a partner. It pulled out. It actually was on the bid, the competing bid that lost. Why they pulled out, I once again wonder about their opinion about their experience working with Blue Origin. Maybe that's why they pulled out. Either way, this is now really, this contract based upon the partners is really in Blue Origin's hands. They're the major player.
There's an artist concept of the Blue Moon. That's what they call their lander that you put on your site. And looking at it, Bob, that looks heavy. Does Blue Origin have a heavy lift rocket that can put that on the surface of the moon right now?
They don't have any rocket to put anything into orbit, even, remember. New Glenn is almost a decade behind schedule and is probably not going to launch until 24 at the earliest. And New Glenn might not be the rocket they'd use. They might use SLS to this. They might partner with NASA, SLS, which is maybe one reason why NASA went with this, because they like the idea of giving SLS more to do. Once again, that also puts limits on how many times this thing can fly. I've said this numerous times in the last decade. Once Starship starts flying regularly and cheaply, all the competitors as presently existing, SLS and New Glenn, are going to have to really step up their game or go out of business pretty quickly.
Capstone, what is that, Bob? It's taking pictures.
Yes, it took a picture. Its main goal is not to take pictures, but it took a picture of the moon. It's in lunar orbit, and that's just it's just cool that it did it. It's not a great picture, but it wasn't designed to take pictures. Its real mission has been twofold. One, to prove private enterprise can build a lunar orbiter. Actually, three purposes. Secondly, to test out the orbit that will be used by NASA's Lunar Gateway space station. The orbit is an unusual orbit. No one's ever used it before. So Capstone was sent to do that. And to do this with private enterprise, do it with a small sat, do it with a CubeSat instead of a full-size satellite. So it was built, the small sat was built by a private company, Terran Orbital. It was launched by a private company, Rocket Lab, and it's being managed on its mission by a private company, Advanced Space. NASA just simply wrote checks for this to get done. So it's been in orbit. It took the first close flyby of the moon and took pictures when it did so. I put one of those pictures up. As I say, it's not a great picture, but that's not its main goal. It has now completed its primary mission of 6 months in lunar orbit, in that halo orbit, testing out how such an orbit would work. It also recently did a test in conjunction with NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which is orbiting the moon, to develop navigation technology with two spacecraft together in orbit, and that proved out correct. It's going to now do us an extended mission for a year, continuing to test the engineering to fly in this orbit, John.
What attracts me about stories that you just told, Bob, three different companies, all private, working on one mission, is that clearly the number of people involved in space exploration, space monetization is growing into the scale of the energy business has always been the health of the United States. This looks like we're growing lots of people to found new businesses and to continue the ability for people to get into space.
What's interesting, John, is I don't know if the numbers are higher, but what you've got is three different companies, each specializing in different things. And so what happens is you now have variety and resources of a much greater variety, but more important, cheaper. Much less expensive. NASA would put together this humongous giant project, which would cost billions, and they could get very little done. Now they can get multiple missions done for much less cost. So we're actually, what's going on is we're using the people in the aerospace industry much more effectively now by allowing private enterprise to run things, and that's the best thing.
What is Chandrayaan 3? What's the mission?
This is India's space agency's next attempt to do a lunar lander rover. They tried to do a lander rover in 19. It crashed just before landing. So they decided to just rebuild the spacecraft, put in some improvements, and try again. It's been delayed. A COVID panic in India shut it down for 3 years, but they're now aiming for a summer launch. They have now completed all the testing on the ground, so they're now beginning to assemble the payloads on top of the spacecraft for that launch in July, and so it looks very optimistic it's going to happen. I've got to map them behind the black, because if everything goes right, this summer and late fall, we're going to see three different landers go on the moon and near the South Pole, one from India, Chandrayaan 3, one from the United States and a private company, Intuitive Machines, near the South Pole, and another one from Russia, the first Russia lander since the 1970s, also near the South Pole. I'm not sure all three will happen, but all three are scheduled for this summer, John.
Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University and an achievement. Who are they, Bob?
It's a college. It has mainly an engineering college. They've got multiple campuses throughout the country. One of their campuses here in Arizona has a student club that builds model rockets. They try to do things very ambitiously. And so they've been trying for the last few years to build a model rocket that could set a new altitude record. Well, they've succeeded. I got the live stream of that test flight on Behind the Black. On April 16th, the students at this college flew their suborbital model rocket to an altitude of 47,732 feet, which is more than double the previous record of 22,000 feet for a model rocket. Big deal. They've shown that they can do something that's not really far away from a real suborbital rocket, which means these students are very prime, valuable resources that other new rocket companies are going to want to hire. They're very smart, and that's a good thing, John.
Yes, and that's the growth I'm excited about.
Yes.
That there once upon a time there was NASA, and if people left NASA, they could found new companies. But now there are people coming up who've never going to participate in NASA. They're going to be hired by all the private enterprises that are competing and specializing, the space tugs, the management of the communication network on Earth. All of those opportunities are for these young people for the 21st century. And you've celebrated it, Bob, with commercial space. What I didn't follow through on when you wrote that essay was that it's going to recruit a lot of students, lots and lots of students. And I think what you just said, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, is commercial space.
Yeah. Yeah, and these students, one of the reasons they're so cool on building a model rocket, students at most engineering colleges that want to do aerospace were set off to build CubeSats for decades. And they'd do fly a CubeSat, and they'd learn how to build satellites. But this is different. They're learning how to build rockets.
Right.
Because rockets are the real thing right now, and they know there's lots of work to be got in rocket companies. I'll bet you every one of those students wants to work for SpaceX. But there's other companies as well they can go to.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.